Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I'm your running host, Dean Thompson. Do you know anybody named George? Well, if you do, this week's story may make you think about that person. It turns out there are many Georges who have said some important things, and I want to share my thoughts on those statements. And then, do you sometimes wish you could take your last run and just erase it from existence? I completely understand if you feel that way, but is that the best way to look at it? We're going to discuss that topic too in this week's Dean's Thoughts. So stay tuned. All right. Well, I ran the USATF Club National Championship meet this past weekend. And as I record this, at least a couple of weekends ago, once you hear it. But what an odd experience I had. So first of all, it was a great course. I loved the course. I saw a lot of negative comments about the course, about it being a Disney World course or whatever. I thought the course was fabulous and cool, and I loved it, and I really enjoyed running it. So this year, I went to the 8K distance. In the past, everybody from 40 to 59 in the Masters division in the USATF Club National Championships run 10K. For me, I just turned 60, and so 60 and over, we run 8K. And so it was a 2K loop. So we ran four loops. The 10K folks ran five loops. And this is the first year again that I was able to compete as a 60-year-old. So I was really excited. Why was I excited? Well, because I was going to be near the front of the pack. There's a lot of really, really fast 40-year-olds in this country. And so when you get lost in the pack when you run with a bunch of folks that are younger. And so, you know, finishing in the top 100 is an achievement because there are really, really fast people out there. So I had thought about this race for all year long. I had targeted this race and really wanted to run well in this. And I thought about just going out with the lead pack and just hanging on as long as I could. And then, you know, just suffering through that last mile or two after I fall off the lead pack. So that was my thought originally. But I had backed off of that thought because I really haven't been feeling all that good lately. And our team, the Chattanooga Track Club, only had three guys. So I had to finish. I couldn't not finish because that would jeopardize the team standing. So I didn't want to be selfish about it, I guess is what I'm saying. So my new goal was to go out very controlled. There were four laps again. And so on that first lap, my goal was to go out and run a pace that felt comfortable, that I almost knew I could hold on to for four laps. And so I didn't go out hard. And that first 200 meters, maybe the first 400 meters, I found myself in third place, like right behind the two leaders. And I felt really, really good. And then a quarter of a mile later, those two guys, I mean, clearly just faded. They just wanted to get out in front and lead for a little bit, and they faded back. And now I found myself in the lead. I had not planned this at all. And I was actually separating from the field. I wasn't just in the lead, but there wasn't anybody right behind me either. And I'm not going to lie, I felt absolutely fabulous. I felt great. I had felt good the day before in our course run through. And I was feeling I was stoked. So I'm just continuing to focus on being super relaxed, staying on my toes, and just running, just focused. And I came through that first lap, and I remember I could hear them call out my name as the leader, you know, and they 7:15 for the first lap. And to be honest with you, that's not crazy fast. That was 29-minute pace, which is reasonable for me and what I've run in the past. And so I was 6 seconds ahead of the next guy, and I was feeling, again, really controlled and really good. So we go into that next lap, and there was this artificial hill at the beginning of each lap, and it was basically a built out of wood and had covered with some artificial turfs type stuff. And you ran up. It was a fairly steep embankment. It went up 10 feet, leveled out a little bit, and then went straight down on the other side. And so I backed off a little and kind of just relaxed to settle in. I got over that hill and I felt a little bit of a twinge. And then there was kind of a real hill, not a major hill, but a real hill that was after that. And then the sand, there was a section that was about 30 meters long that was sandy and you had to run through that sand. You know, it's the theme of Tallahassee. And of course, you know, not being too far from the beach and being from Florida, they decided they wanted to have this sandy section there. And so I slowed a little bit and just kind of got across that sand. But as I did, that calf muscle tightened up a little bit more. And at this point, you know, I'm barely breathing hard. I feel like Superman. But at the end of that stretch, and then just shortly after going out of that sand, I think it was when I made a left-hand turn on the course, all of a sudden my calf just went. It just snapped. It got so tight that I couldn't run. Like if you've ever had a calf strain, you know how it feels. You can't put any pressure on it. You can't push off of it. And that's where I was all of a sudden. And so, you know, the couple of guys came by me and I had to slow down. I was jogging at this point, just thinking maybe if I jog a little bit, it'll kind of straighten itself out and I'll keep going. That didn't work. I wound up stopping and stretching a couple of times. And 15 guys passed me on that second lap before I was able to figure out kind of an in-between where I was, you know, kind of hobbling, but doing it at a reasonable pace. It was really, really painful. But I was kind of able to stop the bleeding, kind of get to a pace that was kind of equivalent to where I had fallen back to in the race. And that second lap was just absolutely brutal, but I made it through. And then I started that third lap. By the end of the third lap, things were feeling okay. I was about 30 seconds slower than I had run the first lap, 30 seconds per mile slower than I ran that first lap. And so, but I was running without the sharp pain. It was just a really, really tightness and it hurt, but it was okay. So I stayed there. On the fourth lap, I thought, I'm gonna try to really hammer this fourth lap, see if I can catch up to some of those guys who had passed me. But as soon as I did, it started getting tighter really fast. And I was like, don't do that. So I just kind of held on and I held my position and I wound up finishing 16th, which, you know, in hindsight is a disappointment, especially after that first lap. But I felt really good about my fitness level at the end of this. So I don't know. I haven't felt that good in a race in a long time. So it was really good to feel that. And it gives me confidence as I try to work on this. I've shared with this group before the steeplechase goal that I have for this year. This really gives me some good confidence going forward. But man, what a disappointment on this particular race, because I honestly think I had a really good shot at winning the race if I had just been able to, if my calf hadn't acted up like it did. So lesson, tough day. Good day, a little bit of everything. That's why I say it was kind of an odd day. But thanks for those of you who prayed for me, cheered for me, and gave me well wishes along the way. I appreciate that. So maybe next year I can get back in the front and run with those guys. Our post of the week this week comes from Patricia Adams. She says, I cannot believe I finished my first, again, run, walk run, and here's why. I went the route I used 5 years ago, hoping I could finish it all in time. Y'all, I was back home 10 minutes early. I couldn't believe it. So I cooled down and came inside. Sure enough, it was that much faster, though I couldn't tell. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in each one of us and through each one of us. May we truly learn to trust you more than ourselves, and may we shine our light with every step we take today. You know, it's always good to overachieve. I love those days when I'm surprised at how good I feel. That I just talked about how I felt way better than I thought I would at the national championship race. Those are great, great feelings. And congratulations to Patricia for having such a good day. There's a couple of things that I think it's important to keep in mind, though, as it relates to these particular circumstances and if you find yourself in similar circumstances. First of all, just because you have a great day and things are going well, it may not mean that anything or everything rather has changed and that you can replicate it time after time. But it doesn't mean you won't either. I'm just saying we have to be a little bit cautious in those days and how we view them and not expect to feel that good tomorrow. Now, that run could be a big breakthrough. It could be a time when everything changes, because that happens. We have these plateaus where we are, you know, we improve a lot and then we plateau. And sometimes you get these major breakthroughs all of a sudden. And so that could be it. But keep yourself open to it. Number two, and this builds on number one, you must leave yourself open to the idea of whatever happens, happens. So often people either get discouraged when things don't go as well the next time, or they aren't even open to the possibility, and they really never let themselves go enough to have that big breakthrough. They convince themselves, well, this was an outlier, and they pull themselves back after that. So be open. Enjoy it. Be open. Wherever you are, remember this. Leave it for your body to feel the way your body actually feels, and don't pre-decide anything. You know, again, I mentioned I found myself in the lead and I didn't plan for it. It would have been real easy for me in that moment to panic, right? To get nervous and tie up a little bit because I got so panicked. But what I did instead was, what was running through my mind was, this is great. This is a lot of fun. And now I need to relax and enjoy it. And yeah, leave yourself open to the possibility of anything happening, and you will find probably more of these good days. Our run of the week comes from Rebecca Wang. She said, same race, three different years, the donut dash. It's always fun to have a race to repeat each year. This one is a race where you guess your time and run without a watch or any other way to check your time. It's called a prediction run. I love this because even the slowest runner has a chance. 2024, this was my first time running 4 miles without walking in only 6 months from when I started running again. My time, 51:40. Last year, I had 44:01, just 1 second from my prediction. This year, 41:55, just 5 seconds from my prediction, and my first 4 mile tempo in several months. Guess I'm good at guessing my pace. This one was a challenge. We had strong winds blowing right at us for half the race. I struggled to hit a solid tempo and kept going too fast. Guess I was going too fast, as that's right at 10:29 pace, where I've been focusing my tempo at. Great challenge and a good time with friends. This is so much fun. I always called these ETA races, or estimated time of arrival races. I like the term prediction run a little bit better, I think, than the ETA run. But we used to have one of these when I was in high school. My high school coach had one of these runs at his house every year. And so we would gather, and the entry for the race was an old T-shirt. So you would take one of these special old T-shirts that you had from another race, and that would be your entry fee. And then whenever at the end of the race, based on your finish, and again, your finish place was based on how close you were to your prediction, the first person would go and they would pick the first shirt. So they would pick somebody else's shirt. And that was the idea behind the ETA run. It was really a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun. One year, a guy cheated on this thing. And the coach didn't realize it at the time, but he found out about it later, that he had worn a watch and he didn't know it. And it turns out the guy was the coach's next door neighbor. Well, apparently the coach snuck into this guy's house and stole the trophy back because he didn't earn it in his mind. And so that just sounds so much like something he would do. My favorite year was the year I was running this race. And actually I was running it with a girlfriend that I had at the time. And we had this prediction. Well, she was having a hard time keeping up with the pace I wanted to keep up with. And so sometime, it was a 2.5 mile race, sometime probably around a mile and a half, she just got so winded that she couldn't keep up. And so what I did was I put her on my shoulders and I ran with her on my shoulders. And turns out I took her off of my shoulders a couple hundred meters from the finish line, and we ran our way in, and I had predicted her time 2 seconds faster than mine, so I ran 2 seconds behind her. Well, turns out she was third place. She won a trophy for that, and that was really a really cool thing. Anyway, Rebecca here is really good at this, apparently. It's really hard to come that close and doing it twice. I mean, that's just spectacular. I'm really impressed. She did a really smart thing by running at our tempo pace, because we run a fair amount at our tempo pace. And so you get a good feel for it, what it feels like to run at that pace. And so that was a good prediction pace to run at, I think. If you ever get a chance to run one of these prediction runs, it is fun. The strangest part is when you get close to the finish line and you're not sure if you're ahead of schedule or behind schedule. And in your mind, you probably have one or the other in your mind. So normally at the end of the race, you know, you're sprinting to the finish. You get that little burst of energy and you feel like I got to pick it up and go really hard at the end. But if you're ahead of pace, you don't want to do that. And on the other hand, if you're behind pace, then you would want to sprint. And you're in your own head a quarter of a mile from the finish line thinking, should I pick it up or slow down, or I wonder where I am, and you don't know, and it's kind of a mind game, but it's a lot of fun. All right, trivia question from last week. There are only three people who have won individual titles for the U.S. in the World Cross Country Championships. One of them won it three times, one won it twice, and one won it once. Just name one of the three U.S. athletes to have won the World Cross Country title. Well, at least one of these people was at the race this past weekend, as a matter of fact. And that was the first time I've ever watched a World Cross Country Championships live. It was absolutely spectacular. I'm going to talk more about that at the end of this podcast. But the one who was there was the one male who had ever won for the USA, and that's Craig Virgin. Craig Virgin won it twice, back in 1980 in Paris and then in 1981 in Madrid. The race in Paris is really exciting. You can find, there's some 5-minute clips online where you can find the last 5 minutes of that race. And Craig Virgin was, he looked to be out of the race. I mean, they were half mile from the finish line, and he was far enough back that it didn't look like he had any chance. And he just, in the last 100 meters, he comes blasting by and winds up winning that race. Really, really exciting race to watch. So Nick Rose from Great Britain was actually the guy leading by like 20 meters or so, with, again, going in the last quarter of a mile, he's leading by 20 meters. And you think, okay, he's just trying to hold on, and you could tell. And this West German guy comes, he pulls away from Virgin. He passes Rose, but Virgin is still behind Rose, and it looks like he's going to wind up finishing second or third, you know, maybe. But then with 400 meters to go, Virgin just, he picks it up, and you can see him closing, and he keeps closing and keeps closing. And then about 80 meters or so from the finish line, he just, boom, he puts on this burst of speed and passes him. It's a really cool thing to watch. So I tried to find a video of the 1981 race, because, you know, he only won that one by 1 second. This one he won by two. That other race, so it had to be a close race too, but I couldn't find a video of it anywhere. You know, today's athletes don't realize how good they have it with all this video recording. They can remember these races because they can relive them. I wish I had some footage of some of the races that I ran back in the day, but there was none of that back then. We basically, all we have is memories. So yeah, the videos that we have are sometimes bad, but sometimes they're really good too. So anyway, Craig Virgin won it twice. There was a woman who won it three times. Lynn Jennings won it in 90, 91, and 92. And then she was also third in 93, as a matter of fact. Great runner, Lynn Jennings. And then there was the first American to win, 1975. Julie Brown won. And that was only the third year of the race, so it was relatively early. And there were far fewer teams at that point in time. So it doesn't diminish the feat at all, but it was not as competitive as it is today. It would be good to see an American even close to the lead these days, but we have not seen that in a while. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about how since 2002, I think it is, of the top 10 finishers, at least on the men's side, of the top 10 finishers of each race between then and now, only three people, and all three of those were in 2013, were not African-born runners. Now, this year, if you look at the results, you'll see that there's somebody from, I think, France, maybe. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember where he's from. But he's African born. So he was in the top 10 and he's from another country, but he's African born. And so the last time African born runners finished inside, or non-African born runners finished inside the top 10, was in 2013. And three of them did it. Two of those were Americans. So that was the year we finished second. Great. It's a great event. For whatever reason, the East Africans are better suited to cross country and they just dominate it. And so we'll talk again more about that in the last segment today. So stay tuned.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
Okay, we're back. And so I found this from a site called irun.com. And it talked about how to take care of running shoes. So a lot of people ask me this. A lot of people will take their running shoes and they'll put them in the washing machine. And it's not a good idea to put your shoes in the washing machine. It's even less of a good idea to put your shoes in a dryer. So these are some tips on how to take care of running shoes. And so I just thought I'd go over these because, it's always good to hear these things. Number one, rotate between two pairs of running shoes. Some say they'll last longer. Some say that the foam will compress. And if you leave it longer in between using them, that they will last longer. And so rotating between two pairs of running shoes allows them to kind of breathe and relax and get back to their regular form. And so a lot of people will rotate between two pairs of running shoes. And you don't want to rotate, I don't think, between two pairs of running shoes that are very, very different. You want them to be similar running shoes, if not the same running shoes. What I mean by that is the style. Number two, clean your shoes by hand. Don't put them in the washing machine, as I said. Use whatever you can use to wash them by hand. They make some spray-on stuff that you can use and kind of scrub them with that. There's lots of different things you can use. I personally don't wash my shoes at all. I just let them be dirty. But for a lot of people, that's not okay. And so make sure that you wash them by hand if you do. Dry off your shoes. Put newspaper in them or paper towels or something when you get through running, especially in the summertime. When they're wet, if you let them stay wet and don't get them dry, then they are going to stink. They're going to get worse and worse. So, but even in the wintertime as well. So here's what I do. I have a shoe dryer, and with that shoe dryer, when I get through running, I put my shoes on that shoe dryer. So I dry them immediately every time. I just leave the shoe dryer on all 24 hours a day, and I keep. Now shoe dryers are, they're not too. I think you can get one for about $50, and they do a really good job. And they dry at a very slow pace, but they make sure they get thoroughly dried. And so that's something to look at. And you could use it for other shoes too. Maybe you're out in the snow. And your shoes are wet. Bring them inside. You put them on the shoe dryer, and a couple hours later, they're dry. So it's a good thing to invest in my opinion, especially if you're a runner. Number four, take a look at your laces. The thing that a lot of people will do, and this drives me crazy when I see it. People will put their shoes on and take their shoes off without untying them. If you're doing that, you are causing your shoes to get out of shape. Unlace your shoes, pull your laces out a little bit and take your shoes off, and then pull them back tight and tie them when you put them back on. It is not a good idea not to do that. Five, store your shoes in a dry and well-ventilated area. Again, it goes right along with that drying them. Don't leave them in the sun. Don't leave them in your car. There are things in there that will break down if you do that, particularly in your car. In the summertime, you leave a pair of shoes in the car in the summertime, and they could the sole could separate from the upper. So don't let your shoes break down by keeping them in places where you shouldn't. A lot of people will put them in the sun to dry them. That's not a great idea. It's better to do the newspaper thing or have a shoe dryer. Number six, use your shoes exclusively for running. It's way better if you only use your shoes. You lace them up when it's time to run. When you get through, you put on a different pair of shoes. That's always a good idea, and it'll make them last longer for sure. And if you have different types of shoes, use them for their purpose. Trail shoes, road shoes, racing shoes, you know. Number seven, keep an eye on the mileage. You know, figure out how long you can use a pair of shoes for and use them for that long. It depends on the person and the shoe. I've seen some people who can't get 200 miles out of a pair of shoes, and I've seen others that can get 800 to 1,000 miles out of a pair of shoes. It all depends on you. Find what that is. Keep track of the mileage, and you'll know when to replace those shoes. And then finally, know when to say goodbye and move on. I keep buying the same shoe over and over. Once I find the shoe I like, I buy that same shoe over and over and over again until there's a reason to change. But sometimes you might find that there is a reason to change because maybe there's a nagging injury. Or anytime you change to a new shoe and then you have a problem, take a look at your shoes. Or if you have a minor injury and you don't know where it came from, take a look at your shoes. Could be your shoes. Know when to say goodbye and move on with your shoes. Well, only Jerry Snyder could write a story like the one I'm going to share with you today. Do you know somebody named George? Well, this story will mention a few of the people you may know at least about. This one's called By George. The only failure is not to try. That comes from George Clooney, the actor and humanitarian. Here is some running advice from George, 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 and George. If you build a better mousetrap, you will catch a better mouse. That comes from George Gobel, the comedian. If you get better running shoes, chances are you'll run better. If you eat better food, chances are you'll feel better. If you get better sleep, chances are you'll have more energy. If you think better thoughts, chances are you will have better relationships. George Carlin, the comedian, said, "Just because you got the monkey off your back doesn't mean the circus has left town." Problems are a part of life, and problems are a part of any running routine. So it all comes down to attitude. The weather may be less than perfect. The dog made confetti out of your new running shoes. You find the banana peel someone left on the sidewalk, and boom, you're injured. Remember, it's not what happens, but what you think and do about it that matters. From George Custer, the Army general, there are not enough Indians in the world to defeat the 7th Cavalry. At the Battle of Little Bighorn in 1876, General George Custer and over 200 of his troops were killed by an overwhelming force of Indians. It didn't have to be that way. Custer had some of his most reliable scouts tell him the village they were about to attack was too big and the Indians way outnumbered his force. Custer didn't listen. After the scouts had helped him find the camp, he sent them away. He had listened to their advice and waited for reinforcements before attacking. Perhaps the history books, or if he had done that, perhaps the history books would have had a different story to tell. So if you succeed as a runner, listen to advice from folks who know what they're talking about and do what they tell you if you want to succeed. Curious George, the fictional monkey in books and movies, said, You never do know what's around the bend, a big new adventure or a brand new friend. Running has taken me from my home in Ohio to Honolulu, Hawaii, Monterey and Hollywood, California, Chicago, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and many other cities. I have met some interesting people, made some great friends, and helped raise money for some special charities. It's been fun and it's been challenging. George Harrison said, "All the world's a birthday cake, so take a piece, but not too much." Running is a sport that has no age limit. As long as you can keep going, keep going. Gorgeous George, the wrestler, said, "I don't think I'm gorgeous, but what's my opinion against millions of others?" Running builds your self-esteem. As the miles add up, so does your confidence. And then finally, George Foreman, the two-time heavyweight boxing champion. Just take one step at a time, trusting that God still has a plan for you and he will make the best of your situation. Have fun and keep on running. It's always fun to read Jerry's stories. I just love them. So let's take these quotes one at a time. The only failure is not to try. I realize this is easier said than done, but I had someone tell me something one time that changed my perspective on trying new things. And here's what happened. I was in this Spanish class and the people in the class, including myself, were afraid to try to speak Spanish to native Spanish speakers because we were afraid of being embarrassed, right? But then the teacher explained this. He said, you don't think a Spanish-speaking person has to speak perfectly when they speak English. So why would you think that a Spanish-speaking person would think you need to speak Spanish perfectly? It's okay. They appreciate the fact that you're trying. And that changed everything for me. In that moment, I thought, people really do admire people who are willing to put themselves out there and try new things. And so that really did change my perspective. If you build a better mousetrap, you will catch a better mouse. Have you seen some of the mousetraps people have built that are more complicated than a regular mousetrap? They're really fascinating and it's really neat to see them. However, what do we still normally do? We still normally use a regular old mousetrap. The original is still the thing to use. You can try all the newfangled stuff with your running, but it's still just running or walking if you're a walker, but it's still the same thing. Don't overcomplicate things. It's a simple process. Just because you got the monkey off your back doesn't mean the circus has left town. I don't have anything to say about that one. It's just funny. There are not enough Indians in the world to defeat the 7th Cavalry. Being too confident will get us injured or give us problems more often than not. It's okay to have confidence, but don't get cocky. That's the way I always put it. That's the line. Just take one step at a time, trusting that God still has a plan for you and he will make the best of your situation. The Bible tells us just that, doesn't it? And so that's good advice from George. Proverbs 15:22 says, without good advice, everything goes wrong. It takes careful planning for things to go right. I'm not sure which translation this is, but the one I was reading says plans fail when there is no counsel. You know, we need to be prudent, I guess, and make sure that we look good for we need to look for good solutions to our problems. How many times do we look for counsel and then we don't heed their advice? It happens all the time. I've seen a lot of people bang their running head against a wall for a long time, doing the same things over and over again. And in many cases, I gave them a way out. I said, if you'll do this, it'll change that. And then they keep doing the same thing anyway. And I'm surprised, nothing changes. That's not good. But with many advisors, they succeed. Again, you have to put action to that advice. You have to listen to the advice. You have to internalize the advice. And then you have to use the advice. Some people are really good at planning and some are not. But some people over-plan too. It's not ready, aim, shoot. Nor is it ready, shoot, aim. It's ready, aim, shoot. Find the solution. Implement the solution and then figure out whether or not that worked. It's really relatively simple, but we overcomplicate it by not listening. And in our world today, man, some of the things that are going on in our world today, there are people out there who are just ignoring facts and they're saying things are completely untrue. Proverbs 24:5, a wise warrior is better than a strong one, and a man of knowledge one than one of strength. Being smart and doing things in a smart way is really important. But I want to be a little contrarian today. Notice that it says a wise warrior is better than a strong one. It does not say that being strong is not good, just that being smart is more important. So it's best to be both smart and strong. That means we should train smart, but training smart enough so that we become strong. And then here's another contrarian truth, I guess. The world is full of people with a lot of knowledge who are not wise. We've all seen it. Colleges, frankly, are full of them. So this knowledge thing is good. The Bible tells us that that knowledge is good, but a lot of knowledge that is not applied properly is not good. And if we're cocky about our knowledge, it can be even worse. And so be careful with the way that you use that knowledge. We see knowledge paralyzing people all the time, too. We can go back and look at some of the things we did during 2020 and realize that the smartest people did some pretty harmful things. But when your job is to keep people safe, then you're going to do what you are there to do, and you're going to err on the side of safety. And that can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. I always say that life is full of risky ventures. Going to the grocery store can be dangerous, right? Because we have to get in our car and drive. There is a chance that something bad could happen. But that doesn't mean I'm going to starve. I'm going to go to the grocery store and get my groceries because I need them. And so make sure that you're thinking clearly on both sides, and you're wise and strong. You need to be both of those things. So I believe the Bible is talking about wisdom here, or not just knowledge, but applying knowledge properly. That's the way I look at it. Proverbs 25:11 says, "The right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver." This is another one of those two-prong things. It is the right word at the right time. Not just the right word at the wrong time, or saying something when it needs to be said, but it's not the right thing. Sharing the gospel is a good thing, unambiguously, for sure. But there are improper times and improper ways to share the gospel. Telling someone about the great things your diet has done for you is really good, but you don't want to share that at a funeral, at least most of the time, at least not with a grieving family. That's just doesn't sound like a smart idea, right? But lifting someone up when they need it, man, that can be such a great thing to do. And it can be worth, you know, that's 10,000 words of goodness by just lifting someone up in a simple way when they need it. And this is something the running community is really good at. And I want to say this, too. If somebody is trying to compliment you, take the compliment. I was listening to somebody recently who got really upset when somebody said something to them that they meant as a compliment, but it didn't sound like a compliment. You know, you've heard that before, where people will say something that they mean well, but it comes out not well. When somebody says something and you know that they meant well by it, don't chastise that person or be upset at that person. They were trying to do a good thing. So remember that. Again, I was at the USATF Club Nationals this past weekend, and those people, they are serious about their running, and they're really fast people. But even they were cheering really, really loudly for these last place finishers. And I was watching the last place in the female masters race. She was smiling so big because all of these people were lifting her up. It was a really cool picture to watch. All these very serious runners cheering for this lady who was, you know, barely getting one foot in front of the other. And we need to encourage one another in our running. It's hard enough to get out there and do it. So we can all use the encouragement. So don't be stingy with it. Question. Do you have any role models named George? I don't know. George McFly, maybe. You know, he just needed a little confidence. Just kidding. I had a friend named George that I used to work with. And he was of a different denomination, let's say, from me. But he was really kind and generous, and would debate about me with our respective thoughts on the Bible. The guy was, he was from Lebanon. He wasn't Muslim, but he was from Lebanon. And man, the food he would bring in was just great. Anyway, I think that's the first George that comes to mind when I think of George. To me, the most famous, the most famous George is one that Jerry didn't even mention here, George Washington. I'm not sure where we would be as a country if we didn't have George Washington. He could have been president the rest of his life if he had wanted to, but he willingly gave up power. Wouldn't that be refreshing if today's politicians did that? Boy. And of course, that came all after all he did, you know, as a general in the army. In my opinion, George Washington was the greatest of the founders. Did he have flaws? Sure. If you're out there and you're thinking that, again, focus on the positive, not the negative. We all have flaws. We've all made bad decisions. But hopefully our good decisions and our good deeds have far outweighed those. The famous author and runner George Sheehan said, "I have met my hero and he is me. What does that mean to you?" I'd never really thought about this before, but I personally, this is my opinion, I don't think we should have heroes. I know how inflammatory that sounds, but hear me out. First of all, Jesus is not a hero. If you say Jesus is my hero, that's not what Jesus was. Jesus is God. He is our Lord. If you say that Jesus is your hero, again, my opinion, if you say Jesus is your hero, you're demoting him. He is more than a hero. So that's my opinion. And then I feel like a hero can easily be seen as an idol. And we hear people say that, right? My idol is such and such runner or so and so. You can keep it in perspective, and that's possible to do. It's possible to have somebody that you call a hero and not look at them as an idol. But it's a slippery slope, I guess, is what I'm thinking. So now, I know people don't think they mean it that way. But again, don't they? I think we just need to be careful. That's all I'm saying. And I think that obviously George Sheehan in this case is just saying, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can and I'm working hard. And that's good. And that is good. And hopefully we're doing the same thing. Comedian George Burns said, "You can't help getting older, but you don't have to be old." Do you share this attitude about your running? That's my sentiments exactly, as a matter of fact. But we also have to realize that Father Time is ultimately undefeated. It's okay to have that understanding that Father Time is ultimately going to win, but we don't have to get old mentally. You know, I've said it before, but I really think that's the reason why I haven't slowed down as much as some other people that are my age, because I just refuse to get old. You know, I joke around a lot about being old, but the truth is that, you know, I'm proud to be able to go for a 12-mile run with a guy who can run 26 minutes for the 8K. And I'm going to do it as long as my body will keep up with it. It made me think about Jimmy Buffett. You know, Jimmy Buffett put it another way. He has a song called "I'm Growing Older But Not Up." And you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew to have faith like a child. And I think that applies to our running too. I think it helps to approach running like a child, or maybe like a dog. I wrote a story one time called "Run Like a Dog," where I talked about how dogs get out there. My dog, bless her heart and rest her soul, she would just go out and just run around in circles because she just loved to run. And running with that kind of joy is really special. And that's the kind of joy that I want to feel when I go out and run. So go out there and run like a dog. It can be terribly hard to stay on track as a runner or a walker. The world also makes it difficult to stay on track spiritually too. For pennies a day, Upward Running can make both of these journeys more fun and much easier. Join Upward Running today and get access to training plans, videos, and the best group of active Christians you will find anywhere. Go to upwardrunning.com and sign up today. All right, so here's a story that I thought a lot about. I haven't done, I've done a little bit of experimentation in this direction. So this comes from Canadian Running, and it says, "Why you don't need to do a long run every weekend. Research suggests that you can stop cramming your training cycle into 1 week. The weekly long run is basically running culture at this point, but it probably doesn't need to be." Performance coach and author Steve Magnus recently summed it up on X. "You don't have to do a long run every week. Long runs are great, but you don't have to marry them. Here's why you should consider spacing those huge efforts further apart. A 7-day training week is a human invention, not necessarily based on physiological needs. It's useful for work schedules, but can be less useful and unnecessary for your body, which doesn't care what day it is. And a growing number of coaches are planning in blocks that are longer than a calendar week." Training only works when you recover from it. If you keep piling on hard weeks without a breather, you can tip into the kind of fatigue that is detrimental rather than effective. A longer cycle can help simply because it gives you more time to place the harder days. It goes on to talk about how a microcycle can be anywhere from 7 to 14 days and how it can be really beneficial to some people to modify that microcycle. A longer training cycle can simply involve 2 weeks with different jobs. 1 week gets the bigger long run, while the other weekend is a shorter, more comfortable and safe version. Your hardest workout can be scheduled when you're actually set up to do it well, rather than when the calendar bullies you into it. So first of all, you might be asking yourself, what's a microcycle? A microcycle is the smallest unit of measurement in a training plan. Typically for us, that's a week. Again, the whole point to this article is that it doesn't have to be a week. And so that's what that is. So these microcycles are organized in such a way as to do something called periodization. Periodization is the separating of your training plan into different sections so that you meet certain conditions or meet certain goals under each of those sections. So for me, my philosophy of training is this. I subscribe to it's kind of a tried and true, been around for a long time method of periodization. Start with base. Your base is all that long, easy running. It's just about making sure that you get good and strong. Almost all training plans start with that. Then you move to strength type work. Strength type work are things like longer intervals, hill work, tempo runs, things that cause you to be able to run longer, harder. And then you move on to speed work. That's the next step. And that's shorter, faster intervals and reps. And then finally, you get into a short period where we call it tapering or getting race ready. If it's a marathon, it's tapering. If it's a 5K, it's getting race ready. That's what I call it. Anyway, all of our plans are made in 7-day microcycles. Long runs take place on the weekend. There's usually 2 hard workouts during the week for most of the plans, the longer plans. And to compensate for the fact that we'll almost always get to the fatigue point in those training plans, what we do is we take a recovery week every fourth week. So instead of spreading that week out and making a 10-day microcycle, for example, so that you get more rest in between those harder efforts, we just say for 3 weeks we're gonna work hard, and then that fourth week we're gonna take it easy for a week and get ourselves recovered. I think both have some merit, and so I just wanted to explain to you that's how our training plans are done. Again, another way to do that is to spread your week out over a larger number of days, again, so that you get recovery between each effort. For example, I experimented at one time with a 9-day rotation. So basically what I did was I would do my long run, 2 easy days. Then I would do a track workout, 2 easy days. Then another track workout, 2 easy days. Or hill workout, or what, a hard workout. Obviously, what that does is it allows me to recover between each of the harder efforts. Whereas if I do a hard workout on Tuesday and Thursday and then a long run on Saturday, I'm putting all of that hard stuff into 5 days. And there's not enough time to recover between those efforts. Now, there is something to be said for doing a long run or a workout on tired legs. That does help in some ways, but again, it has to be done very thoughtfully. And so anyway, if you really, really struggle with that 7-day week, this is an alternative. But you really do need to have a job that allows the flexibility if you try to do it, because the problem is doing a long run in the middle of the week can be really difficult to fit in, right? If you have a regular job. So you got to be careful with that. And again, you have to be careful about trying to adapt anything new. But if you took one of our plans and you kind of tried to stretch it out, it could be successful, but you may not need that full week of recovery. So you have to remember those things all work together if you decided you wanted to try to do something like that. So maybe you try a 10-day cycle. Well, you're going to get a lot of recovery time within that 10-day cycle. So you wouldn't need that week of recovery. And so it fundamentally changes the way a plan works in that case. Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting article and an interesting thought. It's always good to think a little bit outside the box. Well, all right, it is time for Dean's Thoughts, and that's a time when I share something that I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Well, I wrote this one a few years ago, but I thought it would be a good one. We've never shared it on the podcast. I thought it would be a good one to share now. It's called Etch-A-Sketch. The Etch-A-Sketch is a toy that began its journey to the National Toy Hall of Fame in 1960. It was invented by André Cassagnes of France and is still manufactured by the Ohio Art Company today. If you are one of six people who don't know what an Etch-A-Sketch is, it is a drawing machine with two knobs on the front to control a stylus that displaces aluminum powder on the screen as you move the knobs, creating a drawing. The genius of the toy is that when you turn it upside down and shake it, the drawing goes away, leaving you with a clean slate. You can start over and create a better drawing, or you can draw something completely different. Just be aware, there is no save button. Well, have you ever had one of those runs that you just wanted to forget about? Maybe you were sick, but forced yourself out the door, showing incredible will, but feeling terrible in the process. Or perhaps you're still sore from a race or a particularly hard effort. Even worse, maybe it just came out of nowhere. You went out the door for a normal run and it turned south in a hurry. Whatever the case, it would be nice to be able to make it go away and start over, wouldn't it? Well, maybe not. Those tough days are important days. You're not having a bad day for no reason. Even if you didn't see it coming, there's a reason for your struggle. It may be a stress issue, a nutrition problem, or an impending injury. Whatever the case, being able to run through those days will make you a tougher, more appreciative runner. I always like to say, if you don't have bad days, you wouldn't have anything to compare the good days to. Bad days are character builders, but it's more than that. They're opportunities to learn. When you have a bad day, don't just forget about it. It may be obvious why you're having a bad day, but it may be a complete mystery. Try to find the root of the problem by thinking about what you have done for the previous week. If you had a race the day before, well, there's no need to dig any further. But if you had a bad run come out of nowhere, think about what could have caused it. You may not be able to find the cause, but log it in your brain so that the next time you feel like that, you may be able to find the root cause in things you didn't know were triggering the problems. Don't just turn the Etch-A-Sketch upside down and shake without taking a picture, or at least forming a mental image of what the picture looked like. There's good news on the spiritual side. Jesus provided us with an Etch-A-Sketch for our lives that we can choose to use if we have accepted Him as Lord of our lives. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We don't have to live with our sins because they have been borne by Jesus Christ on our behalf. But the struggle doesn't end there. Just like we continue to have bad days, no matter how much we run, we will struggle with our faith even when we have a relationship with Him. But unlike our running, He will erase those sins again and again. And if we are His, He will almost certainly draw a better picture the next time we place our hands on the knobs. Has everyone had an Etch-A-Sketch? I had one, I know, when I was a kid. Talk about a classic toy. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, but that one is a classic. And there, you know, there's some Etch-A-Sketch artists out there who can do some amazing things on them. I watched a show one time. I think it was The Toys That Built America. And I saw this story of the Etch-A-Sketch, and it took a little time to develop, as I recall. There were some issues with trying to figure out how to make that thing work. But it's a pretty cool thing. So don't you wish you could make those bad days just go away? Or how about if we could do a time travel machine and change the things we did beforehand so we could maybe make that day not be as bad? I might go back this past weekend and change some preparation things that maybe would prevent that calf issue from happening if I could. But we don't have a time machine. The point is that it's the tough times that shape us to be better. We figure out better ways to do things by doing them poorly first, and then, or at least less efficiently, and then figuring out how to do them different later. We can look back over our lives and we can see things that went wrong that now make us better, stronger, more patient, more compassionate. Name the superlative. There are ways that we got better by being refined in the fire. When we're talking about our training, we keep the things that work and then we throw out the things that don't work. Well, how do we know what does not work? Well, we know it because we did something that didn't work, right? And we may even have been miserable doing it, but we learned something from it. And so if we could just shake the Etch-a-Sketch and do away with those things, we wouldn't have that lesson in our bank. And so it's important. I remember several years ago, I was eating ramen noodles for lunch just about every day. I know, don't judge me on my ramen noodles. But then I would go to run in the evenings and I would feel sluggish every day. And I started to think about those noodles. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm not getting any protein in those noodles. It's all carbohydrates. And maybe I need to do something a little different. So here's what I did. I did something very, very simple. I started adding black beans to the noodles. And guess what happened? That sluggish feeling went away completely. If I had not had those bad days, I might have missed what was going on, but I was not getting the protein that I needed and I was feeling sluggish. And so I took that feeling of sluggishness, internalized it and thought, what could be causing this? And I figured it out. That happens all the time in a lot of different ways. I've been known to try a lot of training things, and I'll try just about anything. I've found a lot of ways not to do things, and I've suffered along the way occasionally. But you know what? In hindsight, it's all worth it. Of course, just one word of caution when you try new things. Remember that your body changes over time. And so what I have learned is that some of the things that I tried years ago that didn't work years ago may actually work today because my body is different than it was 20 years ago. And so just because you try it one time doesn't mean you never try it again for life, because you may find that it works fine for you as you get older. So just keep that in mind. And also, again, just because it works today doesn't mean it will always work. There are things that I did when I was younger I can't do today because my body has changed. So just keep that in mind. Wouldn't it be great to go back to the days when everything was recorded permanently, when they weren't recorded permanently? I think there's a lot of value to the way that I grew up, where you didn't have social media, you didn't have those things that came back to haunt you because they were just forgotten about because nobody saw them, or we were able to make mistakes and move on. Today, there's so much pressure not to make mistakes because things get recorded. And that's really kind of sad, isn't it? It's harder, I think, to start over these days, but you can do that. It is possible to do. I, for one, am glad there's no record of some of the things I did when I was young. But that's, you know, I think about the idea of having Jesus in your life and not. If you've got Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, then all those old sins, they're gone. Yeah, you did them. You may even remember them. People may even remind you of them. But you don't have to let those things drag you down because you're different. You're changed. The Bible says all things have become new. I hope that you have a relationship with the one who can erase all of the bad things from your past. And he is drawing a absolutely beautiful picture for your future. There is no better way to start the day than in the Word. Our Bible in a Year challenge is a great way to start the day in the Word as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. I also share helpful tips each day along with encouraging quotes. Choose the self-paced challenge so that you can go at your pace. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, it is just a click away to get started today. Every week I share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. Well, I'm convinced that it is the best sport for a Christian. That's a pretty big claim, huh? Well, think about it. God tells us that we need to do a couple of things that running and or walking are custom made for. Number one, we need to get alone with God. God tells us there is value in spending time alone with Him. Well, running, walking alone is a great way to do this. You know, being in God's creation while we do it, I just think adds to that idea of being alone with God. I've had some of my best time with God while out on a long run on a quiet Saturday morning. And so this allows us to get alone with God. Now, that doesn't diminish or decrease the amount of time that we need to spend alone with God in a quiet place, not performing something like a running or walking. But this is a great supplement. And then the second thing is God tells us that we need to be in community. He wants us to gather together. He wants us to fellowship. He wants us to worship together. He wants us to encourage one another. You know, I have a weekly run with a friend of mine, and we run and we kind of, help each other out and diagnose the world's problems or whatever we're going to do. And we talk about all those things. And when we get through, we pray after each run and we pray for each other and we lift each other up and we solve the world's problems. We just encourage one another. He just went through some pretty trying health issues. What was so cool about that was, if those things can be cool, is that he did it so graciously. He went through these issues in a way that was just a great model of the way a Christian should go through those things. And it was good for him because it gave him the opportunity to really trust God in what he was doing. And then on my side, watching him go through that was really, really encouraging to me. So, putting God in the center of what we do really makes these things special. So running and walking, they're a great time to gather and to fellowship and to also be alone at times with God. Well, the World Cross Country Championships are over. I hate that they're over. First time they were in the United States since 92 or 93. Again, over 30 years since that's happened. So it was so much fun to watch. Now, if you were from East Africa, it was even more fun to watch because you dominated. That's nothing new. That's been going on for years. But Kenya, Ethiopia, and Uganda were absolutely dominant in every race. In the men's senior race, it was Ethiopia first, Kenya second, Uganda third. They took the top seven spots. Jacob Kiplimo, the guy that won, made it look ridiculously easy. That's three in a row that he's won. As a matter of fact, he's won three in a row, and Berhi Aragawe has finished second three times in a row. Kiplimo's from Uganda. Aragawe is from Ethiopia. But as Kiplimo is running this race, he's looking around him like he's on a jog, and he's just kind of glancing to the guys next to it was incredible. And he won that. He took off on that last lap and won by 18 seconds just in that one lap. Absolutely incredible. The first American came in at 12th, Parker Wolf, which is a fairly good showing for an American. And then Wesley Kiptu, another African born guy, was 14th. But he runs for the United States. And then Graham Blanks was 19th. So we had three in the top 20. We finished fourth overall. After those three East African countries. And so that was a pretty good day. There was some thought that we might be able to get on the podium, but man, oh man, they were just, those top three teams were so, so dominant. I can't figure out whether they're that unbelievably good or we're just not that good at cross country. I'm not sure which it is. In the senior women's race, Agnes Ngedich was so far ahead of second place, it was uncomfortable to watch. She ended up winning by 42 seconds, which is that's just ridiculous. Now, it would have been good if Beatrice Chebet had been there because Beatrice Chebet would have at least pushed her or probably beaten her, and we would have seen the two of them running together. It would have been a great battle. But Beatrice Chebet is pregnant, and so she's going to have a child, and so she chose not to defend her title this year. And it was really amazing to watch Agnes run this thing. She is so good. The first American was Edna Kurgat. She finished in up there. She, again, East African in origin, but a U.S. citizen. And then Carissa Schweizer was 17th as the second American. And those were the two that we had in the top 20. The women, again, finished fourth behind Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda. They made up the top nine spots, and they finished in that order. So that was the women's senior race. And then the under 20 race, under 20 women, it was Uganda, Kenya, and then Japan was third. USA was fourth. The Ethiopians did not have a full team, and that's because they had visa issues. Man, I'm so tired of watching people post things that say that, you know, it was a political thing. It wasn't a political thing. It's there are certain rules to getting a visa, and the Ethiopians basically are notorious for not following those rules. And nobody else had a problem with it, or very few others had a problem with it. Certainly whole teams didn't have a problem with it. And so, yeah, that was sad. It's sad, though, because they are always dominant there in that particular race, and they weren't able to run this year. So the first 13 in the under 20 women's race were East African. That's without Ethiopia even having a full team there. It was crazy. The first American was Blair Bartlett, and she was 16th overall. So she ran well. Then the under 20 men, that's the team that did the best for us. So we actually finished on the podium. They medaled, finishing third place. Our guys went, they really had a good pack. They finished 16, 18, 19, and 22. So they didn't intend to do that. I heard an interview with them afterwards, and they did not intend to run as a pack like that, but it just turned out that way. Again, it was the Kenya show. Six of the first eight places were Kenyans, and then Uganda, and then we were third. So that was a lot of fun to watch. Again, the Ethiopians did not field a full team. But then they also had the relay, and the relay is a cool thing where these countries, you have four legs, they each run a 2K leg. So it's a pretty short. That's, you know, 2K is 1.2 miles. And so it's a kind of a middle distance runner's race. And a lot of times countries don't send their best for the relay because a lot of times their best are running the full race. But Australia, they're kind of a middle distance powerhouse, kind of like the USA. But they put their best runners in there, and they want it going away. They were anchored by one of my favorite runners, Jessica Hull. She ran at the University of Oregon. And so we know her from there, but she's back in Australia and she smiles all the time when she's running. You can't help but like Jessica Hull. And so she was able to cross the finish line first. So Australia won the relay. The USA, despite the fact that Ethan Strand crushed everybody on the first lap and was leading after the first leg, we ended up finishing fifth. France and Ethiopia were second and third. Again, that was a spot where we were pretty strong on the men's side and the women's side. We've got a lot of middle distance women who probably could have run faster. Now, I'm not denigrating the ones who were there. They ran hard. They did well. They're good. They're great athletes. And they finished fifth. Fifth is still good. But I would like to have seen what would happen if we had there's a couple of other ladies maybe could have run a few seconds faster and put us in the hunt. But it was great to be there. I thought, again, the course was a lot of fun. There were a lot of people who were saying, hey, why don't we have this again next year? Because for whatever reason, the governing body for World Cross Country has decided that we're not going to have another World Cross Country Championships for 3 years. And it's because we have the Olympics in 2028 and they're trying to get back to having it on odd years rather than even years. I think they should go back to having the World Cross Country Championships every year personally, but I get it. It costs money to hold these things. I think somebody said it cost like $20 million or something to hold this thing or whatever. And that's a lot of money. So anyway, I talked about my race at the beginning. So let me close by talking about our team's race. Our team was seventh. There were 20 teams and our team finished seventh. We had hoped for a higher spot, but our number two guy basically had the same problem I did. His came a little bit later. His came on the fourth lap, but he again came hobbling across the line. And so if the two of us hadn't had bad races, perhaps we would have finished a good bit higher. But it's always so much fun to compete as a team. I love the team aspect and running, not just for yourself, but for the other guys on the team. Tim Ensign, the guy who shout out to Tim, he organizes our race every year, and he is running this race for 23 consecutive years. And so it's a passion of his, and it has become a favorite for me as well. And it's my favorite race I do all year long. I've done, I think, 12 of them. And so it's great fun. And I will continue doing it as long as the Lord will allow. Well, let me leave you with this motivational thought of the week. I'm gonna pay tribute today to my sidekick for 6 years on this podcast, Mitchell Hollis. He once said something like, "True boldness is trusting in Jesus when that is all you have left to trust in." He said it in a different way. I can't remember the exact words, but that's the gist of what he was saying. And I pray that you are able to put your trust in Jesus no matter what else is going on around you. No matter what setback you've had, no matter how tragic you may feel that things are getting, because you can trust him no matter what. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I ask you to go to upwardrunning.com/peacewithgod. And there are 4 videos there that will explain to you what kind of boldness we're talking about and where to get that boldness from. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it. Join the Upward Club. Download that app and start today with your journey toward a 5K or a marathon or whatever distance you want. And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.